Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the straight shooting view,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. Pitch Talk podcasts and videos are brought to you in association with LE Bikes. Begin your journey into electric bikes. Visit lebikes.co.uk. Welcome to
the Straight Shooting View.
Hey everybody, what is up? My name is Straight Shooting LJA and welcome to part 4, aka the final part, the final furlong of my review of the FIFA Uncovered Netflix series. This episode entitled Too Close to the Sun. So let's get into proceedings by starting with access. One of the keys to gaining information and getting ahead, and with the prosecutors chasing FIFA, that's what they needed. Access. And they got it with Chuck Blazer. Mel Brennan once again hit the nail on the head, saying that Blazer was a criminal who got caught and made a deal just to stay out of prison. The keys on the table recording conversations was actually quite funny to me. I mean, imagine walking into a room, throwing keys down and saying, "Let's talk business." It's like, all right, this is a swingers party? Like, where's the bowl? But Jerome Valcourt was, in my view, only part right about what he said about what happened in the 2015 corruption scandal that we've obviously talked about on multiple Pitch Talk live shows at length in our corruption and football segments. Started when he said he started it 2011, because to me, this documentary proves it started a lot earlier. But the chickens came home to roost. See the last episode title in 2015. I mean, a FIFA governance advisor, what a role. What a pointless role, considering the levels of corruption in what Sepp Blatter called the FIFA house. Whose house? Sepp's house. FIFA being battered by bad press was all of their own doing. And Blatter, all he wanted to do was control the narrative so he could stay on top. Not for the good of the game or the good of FIFA, but for the good of himself. And him talking about transparency and zero tolerance was just supreme hypocrisy. I mean, there was definitely no salvaging FIFA's reputation, and Alexandra Rage, with all respect to her, clearly didn't realise how bad FIFA was, and the way she referred to Blatter as a monarch was interesting. Because remember, monarchs back in the day used to be, right, off with their heads if anybody wants to challenge them. So it's quite an interesting comparative analogy. The Ethics Committee, I always said, was hilariously moronic. And the interview with Blatter, when he admits that the Ethics Committee, their chairs are paid by FIFA, but they're independent, made me think back to the old Pitch Talk shows when we used to say all the time, you can't have friends investigating friends. Those at or near the top being unquestioned was funny. And Blatter's remarks of, we keep it in the football family and it's nobody's business and they're private about financial things, it's just sinister. Especially for an organisation that's supposed to be non-profit. But I guess Switzerland, hey, is known for that. It's easy to control football when it's played on the field because you have a referee, you have a time limit, and you have boundaries, but outside the field of play, you have no referee, you have no time limit, and you have no boundaries. That is a quote from Sepp Blatter, an extremely sinister quote from him, and no boundaries with a corrupt organisation, well, I'll let you figure out whether that's a good or bad thing. Jack Warner's sons laundering money for him. What a lovely family business. which of course Jack Warner takes all the reward for and none of the risk, which again is a mockery. And again, we saw no honor among thieves when he let his sons go down, wishing them luck and actually saying he hopes they get a good lawyer when they're arrested. And he had a chance to get them off. Oof. As I've always said about Warner, he's a politically made man in Trinidad and Tobago. So him not being able to get arrested without a special diplomatic permit truly shows how politically connected he is. But it was interesting to see that his sons, along with Blazer, became FBI informants. And to me, that's a serious amount of evidence against Warner mounting up, even after he'd resigned. But Jack Warner thought he was the kingpin. Sacrifices must be made. FIFA having the CONCACAF led by Jeffrey Webb was actually quite funny, considering he's a banker from the Cayman Islands. And I mean, banker and Cayman Islands is just a sinister sentence. And as was said by the CONCACAF integrity officer, he knew what he was getting into. And it should have been no surprise that he was just as corrupt as Warner. Again, banker, Cayman Islands, corruption, go together. Amanda Davis did kind of annoy me though when she talked about the lines between right and wrong being blurred. Because to me, that's a BS escape clause, as these people are grown adults and they knew what they were doing was wrong. And to excuse it as rules of engagement just makes it even more wrong. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy that lifestyle in an ongoing way? The question is, what are you willing to do to stay committed to it? Well, these FIFA top brass, who can kiss my ass, were clearly willing to do any unscrupulous and underhanded thing to save it. I mean, Kathmandu, Nepal, in 2014. The death of over 1,000 guest workers suggested by Nepalese and Indian embassies was utterly abhorrent. And Blatter saying FIFA would not accept those deaths and conditions are better because of FIFA just shows Sepp Blatter's sheer apathy towards those workers, saying they belong to other commercial and construction entities. It was just like, oh, that is just disgusting. Like, it's like Blatter was just washing his hands of any responsibility for the deaths, even though the building of the stadia and infrastructure for the Qatar 2022 World Cup was directly responsible for those deaths, and the stadia being built were for a FIFA tournament. Another clown, Hassan Al-Tawadi, he came out swinging. And it's like, I remember what he said. Remember what I said earlier about his crocodile tears in a previous episode and him going from feelings of euphoria to depression? And I said that was a load of crap. Well, this is why. Because listen to how adamant he is when defending the deaths of migrant workers by saying there have been no World Cup project deaths or fatalities. But on his present day interview, look at his facials and how different his expressions are. It's almost like he's trying to apologize with his facials, if not in actual verbiage. Non-verbal communication. FIFA publishing a summary of a report they commissioned into the corruption allegations of the 2018 and 2022 World Cup awards in November of 2014, again, was hilarious. Again, as we said on Pitch Talk shows, Michael Garcia was having a laugh, giving Qatar a clean bill of health. But it was even funnier to see Garcia disown his own report. In the words of Greg Dyke, hours after, although it did seem like Garcia was maybe coerced into publishing the findings and making FIFA look good as opposed to telling the truth. But he did actually drop some truth when he said that true reform comes from changing the culture of the organization. I mean, I still say the code of ethics was a joke when it comes to FIFA. I mean, Blatter winding down the ethics committee was something Amanda Rage should have seen coming, considering how corrupt FIFA was, but no, cool, she didn't. And she was quickly put out to pasture with the rest of the group because, lo and behold, it was all just about a lead PR stunt. Sepp Blatter, the master puppeteer on the stage of Footballing Fools, who was blinded by his own delusions, as the next topic actually turned to him wanting to win a Nobel Peace Prize. I can't say that with a straight face. But him agreeing to leave his seat to Platini, then reneging on that, was an interesting part of this documentary for me, and was a bit of foreshadowing. Because I did a Straight Shooting View episode on the disloyal payment, aka bribe, so check that out. I think it was episode 115, Blatter and Platini's fraud trial. Valcar was right about the power of football, but the Blatter Academy and Blatter wanting to bring peace to the Middle East sounds alright, cool on paper. But Blatter being the guy to do it, no way. No. I mean, this clown wanted to stay on top, and like decades before, promising to end apartheid, etc., Blatter is nothing but PR and false promises. And the lack of reform that Jerome Valcar talked about proves this. I mean, the $10 million Africa Diaspora Fund with no legacy program. So sad that this was nothing more than a bribe to Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer. And it's even more sad that Warner will probably never admit to it. And even more sad than all of that is that Africa, in terms of legacy and building the African game, got shafted again. I mean, look at the talent they have. I mean, Jeffrey Webb, he's definitely charismatic. I will give him that. And that FIFA 2015 Congress in May of that year was madness. I mean, again, we did a pitch talk show about it at the time, and I was actually ecstatic. Swiss police raiding the Exco bars and people finally being arrested was tremendous. But in the documentary, the gentleman from the FBI talking about his excitement, that came across a little weird, because it's your job to catch pieces of crap like this. But I've always said that America only got involved because it affected them. If it didn't affect them, they wouldn't have cared. So Loretta Lynch talking about integrity of the game in the documentary, it didn't sit well with me. I mean, of course, American news ran with this and all the hyperbole ensued. And this was probably the only time most of these journalists had ever spoken about football before or since, until the USA, Canada and Mexico were awarded the World Cup. And then Infantino pops onto screen. Now, Platini's general secretary, or as I like to call him and always have done, Platini's yes man at UEFA, Infantino saying it was shameful and unbelievable. Yeah, he was right, but considering how he acted in the lead up to the Qatar 2022 World Cup, he's got some nerve trying to condemn it and saying FIFA became a toxic and criminal organization. I mean, his soundbite about corruption being deeply rooted in FIFA's culture and UEFA being disgusted by it, then Platini saying he's sickened and fed up and enough is enough. I mean, good Lord, you fast forward to 2022, and the irony of all this talk, especially considering the disloyal payment between Blatter and Platini, which came to light. I mean, Blatter was definitely the man who indirectly created the means to enable the corruption of the organization, and also the Exco and Blatter talking about beginning to re-establish trust in FIFA. I mean, how laughable. 2 days after the election taking place shows how much FIFA didn't give a flying one about the image of the game. I mean, this could have been postponed with all that was going on, and they carried on regardless. I mean, some of the delegates and Exco members saying, oh, Blatter's done a lot for Africa, etc., reminded me of actually someone I used to work with, a Nigerian gentleman, who said to me literally at this time, oh, you always look at the negative with Sepp Blatter. You should be more positive. He gave a World Cup to Africa. And I literally laughed in the guy's face and said, really? Nah, mate, you can't look past all the negative things he said and done and that have happened under his watch. And giving a World Cup to Africa does not absolve him of those things. If one of us is corrupt, we are all corrupt. a blanket statement from Michael DeHooge, one of the EXCO members from 1988 to 2017, which I'd usually actually take issue with because it's a generalization. But in this case, when it comes to FIFA, he's spot on. Because the organization has been corrupted and polluted. So anyone within it or that adheres to it at the top level will either inherently be corrupt, such as Chuck Blazer, Jack Warner, or Jeffrey Webb, or will be corrupted somewhere along the way. Now, Blatter saying he'd take responsibility for the corruption. Still can't say that with a straight face. Funny at the time, because no crap, Sherlock. You started your tenure by polluting the well, and you've made it significantly worse. And his, I want to stay with you, I want to continue with you, it sounded like desperate begging. But I guess it worked because it secured him a fifth term. Well, briefly anyway. I mean, FIFA tried their best to act like nothing had happened during all of this. But to see all of this happen and Blatter getting re-elected was just a circus. And as I've said before, 2011 wasn't an election, it was a coronation. And Blatter leading FIFA during all of this thought he was bulletproof. But FIFA was definitely so desperate to survive. So cooperating with the investigations was the only move they really could do. But reforming an institution entity whilst it's running, in my view, is impossible. And again, as we've discussed since 2010 on Pitch Talk shows, podcasts and videos, you have to destroy and rebuild to truly weed corruption out. You literally have to stop football, weed it out, and start again with a blank slate. I mean, the support of the football world, Blatter definitely didn't have that in 2015. So he was right there. But what was he expecting? Sympathy? I mean, him laying down a mandate at an extraordinary Congress and resigning was him probably thinking, I better get off this potentially sinking ship. Thinking all the corruption allowed under his watch and the noose, he must have thought it was tightening around him. So this was not a selfless act. He was going to pick his successor. And at the time, again, I said on Pitch Talk at the time, that Platini was clearly the chosen one. Wow, like Jeff Jarrett in 99 in WCW. He's the chosen one because he'd been pally with Blatter for years and the way was paved for him to take over. And of course, Infantino would step in at UEFA because of the same process. I mean, Platini, of course, took that opportunity. But for me, the comments in the documentary about getting someone in who wasn't seen in the same light as Blatter and FIFA needing that was funny because it made me think in 2022 and even in 2023, that's like when Manchester United replaced Louis van Gaal with Jose Mourinho after complaining about van Gaal's style of football, not realising where Mourinho learned it from in the first place. It just beggars belief. So I saw Platini as exactly the same as Blatter. Not similar, not a cheap ripoff, but exactly the same. Same ethics. Just as corrupted, just as moronic. Only difference being that one is a former player, a great of the game, who at first you actually expect more from. The disloyal payment, though, again, as I've always said, disloyal payment my foot. It was a bribe back in 2011 from Blatter to Platini. And sadly, it was last year in 2022 that we had the absolutely disgraceful ruling, which I did a whole Straight Shooting View episode on regarding Blatter and Platini's fraud trial. So have a listen to Straight Shooting View episode 115 for the detailed version of my immediate feelings on that trial. And Blatter trying to claim that everyone else is innocent until proven guilty, except me. It's like, dude, tell your story walking, boy. You're not innocent and you never have been. Both getting suspended by the ethics committee was funny, as 90 days suspension for a bribe was just laughable. And the fact that money was given 9 years after the work had been done in terms of giving the ballots was funny as well. Conflict of interest. would have been something like hiring a family member to a high role in FIFA with no qualifications. This disloyal payment is a disgrace and a criminal act of basically fraud. And it should have carried a lifetime ban instantly. And I was apoplectic when I heard the original 8-year ban, which was actually subsequently reduced to 6 by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And again, on Pitch Talk shows when it happened, and ever since, I've always stood by that belief. Because those two guys, Blatter and Platini, at the time were top of world and European football. And they were supposed to be the examples, the leaders, the examples they were supposed to set. These should have been instant lifetime bans with no appeal process, because they clearly knew what they were doing. And Blatter was only ever sorry because he got caught. Not because he caused irreparable damage to the reputation of football. Him saying he'd fight for FIFA and himself, again, got my blood boiling, because I was glad he got banned. But this eventually led to Gianni Infantino, unfortunately, having a clear road very quickly to go from second in command at UEFA to the top man at FIFA. And it reminded me of Havelange and Blatter in an early episode, when it was said that Platini didn't realise Infantino had ambitions and wanted to move up. And it was hilarious to me to hear Infantino and Blatter were from neighbouring villages. And it looked like essentially Platini had actually been stitched up. Not that I feel sorry for him, but he was dumb enough not to even realise it. I mean, you never know. The conspiracy theorist in me says Blatter may have leaked the disloyal payment info deliberately, knowing he's going to leave, for the sole purpose of helping Infantino and, well, helping him get one over Platini, whilst having a fellow countryman who is friendly with and is a mentor slash role model to replace him. Kind of like David Moyes replaces Sir Alex Ferguson as the chosen one. Truly no honour among thieves. Although at the time I always felt, and it was mentioned here, that Infantino agreed to run and essentially keep the chair warm for Platini. And when his ban was up, he'd step aside. I mean, they say Platini was naive enough to believe him, but I actually thought that Infantino would step aside as well. So me and Michel Platini actually had a mutual belief. We actually agreed on something. But wonders never cease. Oh, man. Jerome Valcke getting suspended, though. I mean, I guess that was blowback from being so close to Blatter, as he was General Secretary for a long time. And as I said earlier, either you were corrupt from the start, or you get corrupted by an organisation like FIFA. And Blatter saying he didn't ask for money from FIFA and saying that FIFA gave it to him was fine. It's like, dude, you're the one in control. So you're giving yourself the money, you moron. I mean, in regards to Infantino's election, I mean, those who back Blatter were always going to back Infantino. And Platini seeing Infantino as an enemy begs the question, why have that enemy so close to you? And Infantino was definitely right place, right time. He didn't even have to do much. And anybody was seen as better than Blatter at the time. I mean, Infantino coming out and saying the status quo was basically going to stay the same, he actually slipped. And look at how he had to clarify it on the documentary all these years later. FIFA being announced as a victim and giving $201 million as compensation came across as very weird to me. But even weirder still was that Blatter and Platini have never been accused of a crime by the US Justice Department. Strange. I mean, that says to me, and to me backs up my theory, that the Americans only got involved to look like the saviors of football. As said, because they saw this multi-billion pound gravy train leaving the station without them, and they wanted in. For them, it's not about changing FIFA or the system. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to profit from it. Oh, look at that. Chuck Blazer, though, dying in 2017 before he could be charged was a bugger. Because he surely knew a lot more information. I mean, Warner and Teixeira, I've always said Warner is so politically connected in Trinidad that he'll never leave there and he'll die there a free man. So forget him and Ricardo Teixeira. The US may seek him, but neither, I don't think either will be stupid enough to leave their home countries. And there's one, and one ex-co member is actually still at FIFA in 2022, out of the 22. So make your mind up. Either make your own mind up. Either that's an exception to the rule and the one who's not corrupt, or just one who hasn't been caught yet, as they were better at covering their tracks. I hate to be cynical, but can you blame me when it comes to FIFA? As mentioned, though, I have an entire Straight Shooting View episode on Blatter and Platini's Swiss fraud trial, so I'll leave that one alone. But Jerome Valcke, who kind of slipped under my radar after being found guilty of bribery at a Swiss court and appealing it, I'll refer you to my previous statement about either being corrupt or being corrupted, and let you make your own mind up. And Blatter being banned until 2028. Again, I've touched this ban being extended on the Straight Shooting View. I think it was episode 48. And FIFA not changing under Infantino when it comes to corruption, specifically relating to World Cup bids for 2030. The image of corruption and the institutionalized corruption has not been exorcised. The demon is still there. It's definitely still there, and football's place in a divided world, in my view, has never been more important. I mean, Qatar wanting to host the World Cup and having football embedded in its blood was a funny statement to make, considering before they bidded for the 2020 World Cup, they basically had no football in history. It's kind of like Chelsea at the top level pre-Abramovich, or Man City at any level before Sheikh Mansour. And saying Qatar are known for their hospitality and how they welcome guests, well, the build-up to the 2022 World Cup, the Winter World Cup, would say they're infamous for their hospitality and infamous for how they treat their guests, as there are a lot who didn't feel safe going there and didn't end up going. For me, though, I'm so glad that this documentary went into the human rights and respect abuses, because these were critical. And the lady talking about football can't just turn a blind eye to abuses of these, and the country who can't guarantee basic respect to the LGBTQ plus community and basic rights for migrant workers shouldn't be allowed to host a World Cup. But in the immortal words of Rick James, money talks. And that's why and how Qatar hosted the World Cup last year in 2022. I mean, football as a sport will always endure, as there are emotional connections that us fans have with the game and will enjoy. It's passion, energy, technique, strength, guile, guts, mental prowess. It's a childhood passion that turns into an adult obsession. And once it's in your blood, it's in your blood for life. But it's not up to those in power to corrupt it any further. And it's up to those in power not to corrupt it any further and make sure football uses its platform for good, not just to line a few people's pockets or encourage unethical activity and unscrupulous or nefarious actions or embolden dictators and abusers. It's called the beautiful game, and it needs to stay beautiful, not exploited. But again, with Infantino, he's letting it happen again and again. Recently in 2018 and 2022, it's shown that we as fans can't turn a blind eye to it, because that doesn't preserve the honour of the game and isn't good for the game and isn't good for the good of it. Blatter feeling thanks for FIFA, what a joke. I mean, of course, he loves the lifestyle and the power it provided him, but he contributed most negatively to the game, and he will, in my view, always be a disgrace. And it was right what was said about, unless you're on the inside, you won't know about the shadiness of dividing up obscene levels of power, money, and influence between a chosen few to do with and use how they please, all in the name of the game. No, I won't know that, but I'd rather not know that. Guido Tognoni, back to him, talking about can FIFA get away from corruption was an interesting thought. And for me, sadly, he was right in saying no, because the world can't get away from corruption. And I've always said football is a microcosm of society. You can't rid racism from football without ridding it from society. You can't get rid of corruption in football without getting rid of it in corporations. For example, look at Sainsbury's under Mike Coop and the failed merger with Asda. He was set to get a kickback, little bonus of £1.6 million all to himself as a payment if it had gone through. But it failed. And although he lost the company over £40 million because of that failure, he's still got nearly £600,000 as his payoff when he left the company a couple of years later. And that's just one example of a major company. I could go into a shed load of government examples as well. COVID, PPE contracts. Tognoni was right though, but that doesn't mean FIFA shouldn't try and get rid of corruption. And I mean honestly try. Not with a council of wisdom or a ethics committee that is paid for by FIFA itself. Not by those Americans whose motives I mentioned earlier aren't altruistic. But by truly independent entities who are actually objective and have the good of the game at their heart and at the heart of what they do. Players giving the FIFA president power, the power, was an interesting way of looking at the FIFA president, as without players, there is no game. But also Shaka Hislop dropping the "an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere" quote was very poignant, as it is true. The nefariousness at the top of the game not only affects the pro level at the very top, but as I've said on a Pitch Talk special feature about episode about referees wearing body-worn cameras at grassroots level, the example comes down from the top, and at grassroots level it's followed with things like trials of rolling subs or sin bins, and also some clubs conduct. Some clubs conduct themselves like pro level clubs, and owners run clubs into the ground with mismanagement and following the example of corruption that's set from the very top. Sepp Blatter though, saying sorry for FIFA, but his conscience is clear. This guy, he can't be responsible for other countries and other cultures, but can be responsible for FIFA, but then doubling back and saying he regrets what happened, but can't be responsible. So essentially, he doesn't feel responsible for anything, which is true to form for the reprehensible piece of crap that Mr. Joseph Blatter is, was, and will forever be. So, all in all, an enjoyable documentary series. FIFA Uncovered, thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed analysing and dissecting it as well. As with anything, slight grains of salt need to be taken with some comments, as there will have been some clever placement in terms of quotes, etc. But for me, it filled in a few gaps in my knowledge and filled in a lot of critical historical context, which is kind of what I was hoping to get out of the documentary. It definitely shed some light on the roles of some people I'd heard of but didn't get a chance to dig further into their background, such as Jeffrey Webb, for instance. I mean, like the WCW Nitro book by Guy Evans, it was a good doc for the fact they got guys like Blatter, Valcar, among others, who were actually at the epicenter of proceedings, which I ironically feel definitely lent credibility and legitimacy to the series. I definitely recommend watching this. If you were surprised by the FIFA corruption scandal in 2015, or even if, like me, you weren't surprised by it, because it provides some crucial and critical historical context. For a number of years, if you've listened to the Pitch Talk live shows from 2010 to 2015, you'll know that I had a key eye on corruption at the very top level of football, and we did numerous segments on the subject. And there were some things that didn't quite connect at the time that now really do, because those involved have finally spoken out on this documentary, many of them for the first time. Some of the honesty was refreshing, such as Jerome Valcar, whereas some of it was utterly sickening. Sepp Blatter clearly has no regrets or even any sort of conscience or contrition when it comes to corruption at FIFA that he's directly responsible for. And you can see the influence of Blatter on Gianni Infantino, who again I've always called a yes man for Platini. Similar backgrounds, similar corruption. And after this Winter World Cup in Qatar, which happened after the documentary was filmed, we saw Infantino go full Blatter, especially with the Today I Feel speech. Look it up if you haven't seen it. It was an internet meme maker's goldmine. Really was. But you know what? I want to know your views. FIFA Uncovered, the Netflix four-part series. Did you enjoy the series? Are you angered by the fact that Sepp Blatter still shows no regret to the corruption ball that he started rolling years ago? The FIFA corruption scandal, did it surprise you? If you've watched all four episodes of the documentary, what did you think? What did you think? Was it a good watch? Did they leave anything out? I was a little disappointed that they kind of didn't go into detail about the Panama Papers. Because I said, we did on a Pitch Talk, special feature, expected a bit more about it. But it is one of them ones. I felt all in all it was decent. What did you think? www.pitch-talk.com is the official website. youtube.com/pitch talk is where you can find all of our videos. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. So many places you can find the Pitch Talk podcast. Wherever you pick up your podcast, you can find us. Also, at Pitch Talk on Twitter, tweet with us, follow us, see what we're up to. Facebook.com/Pitch Talk, become a fan, become a member of the group. Join the footballing revolution we're working so hard to create. At Pitch Talk on Instagram and also on TikTok for vlog and podcast previews. We're on Reddit as well, at Pitch Talk. Join the conversation there. So many places where you can find us. You can pick up our podcast episodes on our website as well. I have been Straight Shooting LJA. And you know what? On behalf of myself and my Pitch Talk co-host, it's been an absolute pleasure reviewing all four episodes of FIFA Uncovered. If you haven't watched it, go and watch it. Then come back and have a listen to all four of these episodes. If you want, back to back. Why not? Why not? Until next time, people, take care. I have been Straight Shooting LJA. See you later.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution.
Check out the official Pitch Talk website.
www.pitch-talk.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football, dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the Straight Shooting View,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. I can see you now.